You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
The Around the NFL podcast. Doesn't like to mix friend groups.
No.
That's so true.
From the Chris Wessling podcast studio, it's Around the NFL. I'm Dan Hanzus. Heroes here, Greg Rosenthal and Colleen Wolfe in the Sizzler chair. What's up, guys?
See, I love to mix friends group all the time. Like, I love having different friends meet each other from different parts of my life.
Right. And but do they like it?
And you know what? I've realized over the past, like, 2 years that maybe I need to stop doing that. Maybe
do
it's not great.
You, Colleen.
Yeah.
I used to do it all the time. But
more
then
the merrier.
What I realized was that made things better for me. But for those people, especially people that are like me, that are a little more introverted around people you don't know as well, mm-hmm. It just made things a little bit more uncomfortable. But that everyone's different.
Now Dan Greg. Has a very specific list of like, it's like
a Venn
formula
diagram.
Of like, right. This guy cannot mix with this girl. It can never happen. It's very tough to get the invite back to the Hanzus Christmas party.
I should let everyone know that Dan just chugged a 5-hour energy extra strength before this show.
Right, as the song was playing, essentially, which is a little dark. It just felt dark for
it was reason. It was half. I will say it was half. I used the first half maybe last season, and that was just sitting there, and I said,
"Oh, that's
fine.
Even worse."
It lasted you all season, just the half.
Why do you think that expires? That's like nuclear, like sludge, basically.
It expires in 2025.
Okay,
so, yeah,
we're covered.
Correct.
You're good.
I needed it. Tuesday was tough. I gotta say, Tuesday was tough. Of course, Aaron Rodgers and all that. Check out the Monday podcast if you're not aware what happened on Monday Night Football. I was doing some like internal accounting on my way here. It's like, what was my Tuesday like? So it was like I had a vague recollection that yesterday was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Things kind of set in a little bit. I slept in, and then I was falling asleep repeatedly during the day. And part of that was I stayed up really late Monday night reading stuff, but also didn't want to go to sleep because I knew when I woke up in the morning, you know that feeling after really bad news the day before when you're going to realize it when you open your eyes that it happened. It's like it hits again.
Hate that.
Knew it was coming. Didn't work out. Made unhealthy eating choices. I contributed very little to a previously scheduled planning meeting we had.
You all but cut it short, I would say, actually.
I shot down a neighbor's request to come over for a swim in the pool on a hot day.
Neighbor.
I coached my son's fall ball baseball team, but I was like in full bad Santa mode to the kids the whole time. Just like mean new coach. They didn't even know me. It was the first practice.
That's not how you do an infield shift, Ricky.
Just with a bottle of Tito's.
And I didn't bathe until about 10 p.m.
Oh my God.
That's a tough Tuesday for Tugboat.
But then I woke up this morning and you know, you start to hit that level of acceptance of situation and where things stand. And that's where I'm at now. Now, is it Is it difficult to do like a football podcast, to work in football when something like that happens and it feels so personal when that injury occurs? Yes, but that's what we do. Mark is so upset about Aaron Rodgers, he couldn't do the show today.
He's not here.
Well, you also just might be feeling under the weather, which is also taking Mark out, because I too was feeling like I was falling asleep a little bit in the day. Long Monday. But
no, that was depression. That's crippling depression, Greg. That's another symptom of depression, which I think I've lapsed into one. But I think I've come out. I don't know if that's how depression works or if I was just depressed. Those are two different things. But sleep is a symptom for me.
Listen, after the pod, I can tell you all about it.
Right. I think knowing, though, you were going to see Connie and myself today and just make magic.
I'm just happy we had Hard Knocks together.
A little twinkle in your eye.
We did have Hard Knocks
together. And that was special. No one can ever take that away from us.
No, and they could take away Aaron Rodgers from us being the Jets fans, but they can't take away those fun 5 weeks. I did think about it, Colleen. Because it was like Aaron Rodgers' hype season, that entire Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
That's what we talked about, like how important he was and how everything was built around him, which keep in mind, anybody that's trying to, you know, get excited about the Jets as still being a contender. Like, this team was built for Aaron Rodgers to lead it, and now they have to pivot on the fly. We'll get to Sol in a second. But remember in the first episode when, and this is what I kept thinking about, and I can't even listen to it again. I was going to say we'll call for it, but I just can't hear it again. Jeff Ulbrich, the defensive coordinator, in one of the early practices, Rodgers throws across the hashes and hits, I think it was maybe Garrett Wilson in the back corner, or maybe Lazard, with a throw that maybe two other people on earth can make.
Mm-hmm.
And Ulbrich says to the team in the defensive meeting, like, that's our guy. That's our quarterback. And the whole meeting room was just like, yeah. And he was speaking for Jets fans too. Like, that's our quarterback. So that is the world that we now exist in, that guy's gone. And, but time heals all wounds. I'm getting back. I'm getting my juice back already and feeling like I could be watching fun, plucky team this season. There's Jeff.
I will say
Travis Kelce, one or the other.
That listening to the Monday recap pod with you guys, when you talked about the comeback win for the Jets and you holding up like the kids and everyone embracing, that kind of gave me the feels a little bit. Like, I was on that roller coaster ride with you, not as, you know, as you were, but I could feel it a bit.
Yeah, you got to take a nod from your captain, Robert Saleh. He's back in there the next morning talking up.
He is.
Great leadership.
And I want to thank everyone. I got like a ton of, whether it was listeners or just friends or people that I haven't even heard from in a while that just know how much I love the Jets. A lot of texts and DMs and emails. And it was all very nice because people get it. And now we move forward as we must. As we must.
Life goes on.
And coming up on today's show, by the way, I like this one, Greg. You threw it out there. I was basically comatose, not really listening to you. But in that planning meeting yesterday, or maybe a text thread that I looked at with one eye in between depression sleeps, you mentioned what? What's our segment today?
Only bad questions.
I thought it was no dumb questions.
Oh, no dumb questions. I don't even remember. Dumb questions.
I was told
only dumb
it
questions.
Was only dumb questions.
Only dumb questions. Right. No, that was it. And that was.
But are they dumb questions necessarily?
Well, I hope so.
Well, we'll find out. Like, that's what they say. There are no dumb questions. But in this segment, we're going to try to come up with some dumb questions. And you see, that's my love language. I didn't send you a nice
Very
text,
nice.
Which actually, I didn't send you a nice text. Now I feel bad about it.
No.
Thinking about it. I didn't
played
send
it right.
you like I feel bad about it. But, you know, I knew this wasn't going to be a Dan day. I'll come up with the seg. That
was very nice.
Aww,
but that's
that.
Love language. That's good.
That's so sweet.
The text, I wasn't waiting for you like, when is Greg going to send like, hey, how you doing, buddy? Because you know I don't need that.
Right.
That's what I need.
He's an active service kind of guy. That's the love language.
Very nice. Your therapist is really making strides with you.
Suzanne, oh my goodness. I could go on and on.
Speaking of therapists, Packers fans need one after a bunch of them rolled into a bar in Milwaukee thinking, according to this promotion, hey, Jets lose, you win, bar handles the tab. Let's do some news.
We're just going to keep going.
Another condition is Aaron Rodgers must start the game, but the rules say nothing about him having to finish it. So there's a loud roar when Rodgers leaves the game hurt in the first quarter. The fans say it's nothing personal.
I mean, I'm not necessarily opposed to Rodgers, but tonight I'm thinking with my wallet instead.
Nice. Good human stuff. Good human stuff from Packers fans. Let's get the postscript on that little story from the tavern.
Match. Enjoy.
And the mood has changed considerably. That is because the Jets just won the game on a long touchdown in overtime. You could take a look. This is the reaction to the bar where people are realizing the bar tabs they've been racking up all night, thinking certainly with Rodgers hurt, the bar is going to be paying that tab. It is setting in. They are going to have to go to the bar and pay that tab.
Pay up, bitches.
That is so good.
Pay up.
Oh, you got to watch the YouTube of this one just so you can see the look on the face of the reporter. It was just...
What about the guy in the background holding his hands over the face like he just witnessed?
Not good. Not good for the wallets.
Hit by a car.
I miss local news.
Bad job by this pack.
CBS 58 News in Milwaukee with the credit there. Good job by them. All right. Speaking of Robert Saleh, let's check in with him. Of course... The Jets were seen by many as a potential Super Bowl team, and now most people, including the desert, Greggy, mostly writing them off as a team that can't get it done with Zach Wilson instead of Aaron Rodgers. Here's what Saleh had to say on Tuesday.
I don't know why people are trying to put an obituary onto our team name. You know, it's Aaron is an unbelievable piece to this whole thing, and we love him, but I think there's 52 other guys in the locker room, plus the 16 practice squad guys that believe that we can do a hell of a lot of good things here. And we're excited about our group. We've worked hard over the last couple of years, players, coaches, scouts, GM, building a pretty cool organization. And so there's still a lot of faith in the locker room on the things that we can still accomplish this year. So it's, while the outside world can go ahead and write whatever story they want to write, there's still the true story being written in this building. So.
I could tell Rob's Tuesday was about the same as mine.
Yeah,
but he had to go up in front of the media. And then the other thing that you saw out there, which is almost as like depressing and frustrating, was all the articles. And that's part of the machine. And I get it. Now, what are the Jets going to do? Who are they going to go get? And I'm seeing like leads with Carson Wentz in it and all that stuff.
I know.
And all I'm thinking to myself is you got to pay attention. They'll get somebody, maybe a veteran in the building. And they'll even turn to that guy maybe after, say, the bye. But right now, like, the season is about Zach Wilson. That's the guy that was in camp. That's the guy that knows the offense. That's the guy that was QB2. He's the dude. And here's what Bob had to say about that. I call him Bob Saleh.
But I do want to make it very clear. Zach's our quarterback. We got a lot of faith in Zach. We're really excited about his opportunity. But we're rolling with Zach and excited for this, excited for him. And like I said, this opportunity that he's going to get.
If they were going to bring in someone that could actually take Zach Wilson's job, I don't think it would be right away. I think it would be maybe the bye week or closer.
When is the bye?
It's not till
like week six, seven.
It also might depend. Like they would have to thread a needle of winning enough games, but Zach Wilson is clearly struggling that they start to think about this. Like there are just so many contingencies that, let's say, a guy like a Jameis Winston, who I think could be available, like that wouldn't be right now. Anyways, he does have to play the Cowboys and the Patriots next, which is pretty brutal. And that was one of the reasons you could understand why Zach Wilson struggled against the Bills for the most part, you know, being thrown into that situation against a good defense. And then he has to play two of what I think are going to be the five of the best defenses in the league. So it is a brutal slate for Zach Wilson to start with.
Yeah, and so many primetime games still on the slate. And then you have the whole natural grass and turf debate going on as well.
The union came out and said, you know, we need to get rid of these AstroTurf injuries. And it's like, I hear it. And MetLife Stadium has certainly been in the crosshairs in the past as having a bad turf, even though this was a new one that they installed for this season. I just don't even know. Sometimes people get so upset and you want to be mad at something.
Mm-hmm.
But the Jets and Giants share a facility. So you tell me how any natural grass surface, and I'm no landscaper, but I was known as Danny Doublecut.
You do a lot of lawn work, too.
I do a lot of lawn work. I enjoy it. It's not going to hold up unless you have your own stadium and you have a little break. That's too much, at least in that stadium. And otherwise, yeah, I understand it. I get it. Like they say, grass is better, but also those fields get ripped up too and become very difficult to play on.
That's true. But even David Bakhtiari came out and made the point that for the World Cup that's coming here in 2026, it was an absolute deal breaker. They needed natural grass. And so SoFi and Dallas, like, they will be bringing in natural grass. So
MetLife, right? Isn't World Cup at MetLife?
But they could, because
they are.
There's X amount of games at MetLife, whereas we're talking about the grind of a full football season. Uh-huh. Where two, same thing with SoFi. They can never have grass because they got that building has games like 17 weeks in a row, basically.
I mean, I don't know. I just think there's got to be a way.
Let's get a landscaper on.
Like, yeah, the Maras have been against it very much, saying that the numbers don't say it. And I thought Salah, the way he addressed it, was pretty telling, because he said he didn't think that injury was affected by it because it wasn't a non-contact injury. But I think we would all just prefer grass. So he was trying to not bother his boss, but also speak for the players.
If we do have a landscaper on, I just would love to know if you can still get turf toe on natural grass.
Ooh, good question.
That's...
What about Four Seasons landscaping in Philadelphia?
Oh, my God. You don't even know. I have merch. I love those guys.
and postscript for me on this before we move out of Jetsland. Two things need to happen for the Jets to be a playoff team this year and be a fun team to watch. The defense needs to continue to be special, which I think is possible, but they also have to do something they did Monday night that they didn't do last year, which is continue to turn the ball over and give their offense short fields. So it's got to not just be a great defense, but a opportunistic take the ball away D. And then special teams also has to make plays like we saw in that game. And Ken Hackett, Ken Rogers, who's a coach now on this team, can they just get Zach Wilson to average? I have my doubts right now, but that is the goal. Can they get him to average like Mark Sanchez level 2010 average? Can they?
That is the goal. That's a reasonable
five-hour energy
energy just hit.
I just had a tremor in my hands. Everything's fine.
Oh, by the way,
my name's Nathaniel Hackett. Thanks. It's nice to see you out here.
You noted, the desert downgraded their Super Bowl odds.
How much?
So I went to go check it. They're plus 6,500 now to win the Super Bowl, and they would have been much higher before, which is like 18th in the NFL. I don't think it's too disrespectful. I mean, they're shorter odds than Mac Jones and the Patriots still. So, and the old Titans returning to the playoffs a handful of times.
I watched those teams this week, and that makes sense.
Way out of the giant. Hey, Patriots outgained the Eagles by 150.
It wasn't a pretty performance.
Okay. I'm just saying, they haven't totally buried the Jets. They put them in the middle.
So all right.
Sounds about right.
Okay. Let's move on. We have a bunch of Wednesdays, our new, and by the way, Colleen.
Yeah.
Can we get Colleen's theme music? It's Colleen's first Wednesday show.
Hello.
Love of the season.
Hey. Hi.
Wait, what happened to the original? We have to go back to the original at some point.
Let's listen to both.
This is fine for
now. Let's listen to this.
I like this one.
This is fine for today.
Thank you very much.
Greg, try not to talk over Colleen's theme music.
Only Colleen can talk over Colleen's theme music.
I thought it was much longer.
I like that too.
That's good.
That's just
you know what? That's great, because it's just like a quick sort of sound drop. We don't have to always sit through the song.
Yes. All right. So we have four games to get to. Let's save that though. Let's bank that for the end of the show. We have a Thursday night game to talk about, Sunday night football, and two Monday night games. I hate it. I don't like it.
I have to work on Monday. Yeah.
I understand. Listen, I understand that we work for a corporate machine and we have mouths to feed and networks that want their live football.
Yeah.
Just don't think it's as good as a product when there's two games on Monday night.
It's too much.
I just would be in favor of it if they separated them out where they're not at the same time. Just start it earlier. People still watch it on ESPN if you start it at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, and then just go back-to-back or something like that. I don't like that they're on at the same time, but if you didn't like it this week, you're going to get next week. That's a first. Week two and three, they're doing that.
Uh-huh. Hate it.
I don't hate it.
I love my company. Hate the decision-making on this one. All right, let's get to our SAG that Greg cooked up. And that was, you know, maybe technically alive during the phone call we were on, the Zoom call. So I vaguely remember the pitch, Greg, which was after watching week one, we are going to ask, on the surface at least, dumb questions that have an obvious answer. Or... Like, it's an obvious.
I'm curious what yours are going to be now, because, yeah, it's only dumb questions. I mean, people say there are no dumb questions. We're going to try to prove that wrong and ask some dumb questions.
So I guess the premise here, it's an obvious no is going to be the answer, unless the person asking the question is a little bit more, you know. There's a little something to it.
I don't know.
The 5 hour energy shot actually only lasted 5 minutes. It just right. Ended.
Here we go.
You want me to go first?
Go ahead. You start it off.
Okay.
And because when I think of a dumb question, it's often one that has just been stuck with me, and it's been proven to be a dumb question. But now it's like I've got a little window into like, hey, maybe that question wasn't so dumb before.
Yeah.
After the Bengals' Week 1 performance, 6 first downs. First downs by an NFL team might be the worst offensive performance that is done by any team all year. Was already accomplished.
Yeah, there was a lot of three and outs in that game.
Are we sure?
Uh-oh.
That Zach Taylor is gonna be the man to keep adjusting to what defenses throw at him in a tough AFC North.
What's
only dumb questions?
That's a dumb question.
I mean, this guy's performed so well. They've done it back to back years.
Now
all this stuff.
So in this case, it's not an easy no. It's an easy yes. Yes, because they started slow. They went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I understand. There was a little bit of a special year or a lot of things went their way.
But usually that happens when teams go to the Super Bowl.
Right, but that year especially. If you go back and watch some of those games, that was a really special Cinderella run for those Bengals. But the quarterback clicked, and Ja'Marr Chase took the world by storm, and away we go. Last year, similarly, after the quarterback, Joe Burrow, had an issue, appendectomy, and got back for Week 1. They looked like dog poop against the Steelers in Week 1. You went through September, and it was just like, oh, nothing's clicked yet. Then check out the next 10 weeks leading into that terrible DeMar Hamlin game. They were the best team in football and just killing people. And that was, Greg, the quarterback getting healthy, the coaching staff making adjustments, the roster being very good. So, yes, I look at it as like the Bengals have an issue with the Browns. So before I start to panic and point fingers at the head coach, let's let this thing breathe a little
bit. It's Week 1, which Week 1 is always fluky. Division games, you never know what's going to happen.
Well, especially in that matchup, you kind of do. The Browns usually dominate.
Well, yeah, that's true. But in general, Week 1 is sort of the defenses are always ahead of the offenses because of the way that the preseason kind of everyone approaches the preseason. So I felt like the defenses this year in Week 1 delivered over offenses in general. But think about some of the teams that have had the most success, like the Patriots. They always started slow, right? When they would have their runs.
And the Bengals have before,
exactly.
Too.
And Joe Burrow, he's coming back from the calf injury still. The conditions were bad outside. The weather was terrible. These guys didn't get any time together in the preseason. So just give it a beat.
Okay. And they started, I actually went back and checked this. They were dead last in offensive DVOA through 2 weeks a year ago.
Really?
So they, Joe Burrow missed all the preseason a year ago. And so I get all that. But my case of why maybe it's not the dumbest question ever is just this is year three of all this together. T. Higgins wants a new contract. Ja'Marr Chase is there. The offensive line, especially on the interior, really struggled there. And maybe it was just a Week 1 thing. I just think this offense needs to be special. They're built at this point to be a top three offense for the whole season. That's their recipe. I think the defense will be fine, but they need to be like elite, elite, elite. And they've put a lot of tape out there the last couple of years. And I'm just saying they're in a tough division. A lot of teams have going to be adjusting to them. Is Zach Taylor the guy to bring them through whatever troubles they have this year and come up with all the answers to make them elite, elite? Because to me, if they're the ninth best offense in the league this year, that's not going to be good enough.
So you don't think that he's the guy?
I don't know. I'm just asking a dumb question.
Well, you've never really been in on Zach Taylor in general. Let's face it.
I think
you've had doubts, and that's okay. But
sometimes
it's not the first time you've said something.
Sometimes it's players, not plays.
Well, I have a question, dumb question that kind of dovetails nicely off of that.
Dumb.
Because talking
dumb
about
tales.
Dumb, right? Exactly. Yeah. Normally, my dumb questions, I just go straight to Google, so my Google search is just like a nightmare. but are we really thinking the preseason approach? Are teams actually going to change what they do in the preseason?
That's a good one.
because we just talked about it with the Bengals, and not that Joe Burrow could have been involved with the calf, but the Eagles, for instance, who came out and played so flat against the Patriots. Even Nick Sirianni after the game said that he wrote in his little notebook that he's going to play the starters more in the preseason next year. But that is the thing that we hear all the time. Did it really make a difference? Does it make a difference? Will it make a difference?
Burrow said as much, and he lamented after the game, like, you know, I wish I was with the guys in the weeks leading up to the season, but the injury kept him off the field. So, yeah, whether they – I don't know what you think. Playing more in the preseason, I say no. But I see why they think that when week one doesn't go their way.
Right, because you could look at the two teams that I associated with playing – a lot in the preseason, the Chiefs and the Steelers didn't have great week ones. I mean, Kenny Pickett and the Steelers scored a touchdown on every possession they played in the preseason. I do think there is something to playing football before having to play that much football, and I get the injury concerns. Like, no one seems that concerned that half the league's out for a month with a hamstring injury after week one. I'm not saying that that would have been prevented by playing in the preseason or not, just that, like, lots of injuries happen in practice too, and it's football, and you can't totally.
And the Rams, they never play starters in the preseason,
right?
They look good,
and they
week.
Look good. So I do wonder. I feel like that toothpaste is not going back into the tube. That preseason is always now going to be pretty useless, and it's pretty much continued to go in that direction. Mm-hmm. Even more teams than ever this year didn't play guys.
I have one that kind of dumbtails off yours.
I love dumbtails.
I'm just curious. I call it a little bit just like a feeling, just through following the league for many, many years, that I'm watching that Eagles Patriots game and I'm thinking to myself, is it going to be totally stunning if without their play caller of a year ago and all the magic of 2022 or the Eagles, is this going to be a trend this year where it's just not coming as easy to the Eagles? And you look at the drive charts from that game and you factor in that there was a pick six early on. The Eagles did not move the ball well. They struggled to do the things that looked just so easy last year. You already had DeAndre Swift kind of lifting his eyebrow about not getting a lot of touches. Like, is this going to be a season they're just not going to steamroll like they did a year ago?
Listen.
Is that a dumb question?
Yes.
Okay. Why?
It is a dumb question because
that's okay.
Are we saying that about the Chiefs? Are we saying that about the Bills? Are we
Chiefs
saying
didn't have
about
Travis
the Bengals?
Kelce.
Yes, people are saying that about the Bills.
Or Chris Jones. That's true. That's true.
I just sort of
my guy.
About
they still
guy.
Got their play caller. They still got Pat Mahomes, and they didn't have Travis Kelce. Not worried about the Chiefs as an example.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. That's fine. I'm not worried about the Eagles. I think that, yeah, they looked absolutely flat. And maybe they just didn't take this as seriously because everything seemed to come so easily to them last year, except in that final game against the Chiefs. But the play caller situation, he's been with the team for 3 years, Brian Johnson, their new offensive coordinator. Like, he has a relationship with Jalen Hurts. He's known him since Jalen was 5 years old. Like, these two, they obviously have a rapport, and it just seems like they just have a lot of things that they need to clean up. And we'll get to a lot of those when we do the Thursday night preview, since they're playing the Vikings. But yeah, I mean, the Eagles offense, it looked terrible. I mean, I don't know if it was just because Bill Belichick has such a good defense and guys like Keon White were making what should be a good Eagles offensive line look a little shaky, and the protection for Jalen Hurts just wasn't there, but it was bad. I mean, 4-for-13 on third down conversions, that's awful and inexcusable. So I don't know. So
I think the way Dan phrased it, it's not a dumb question at all. It's actually quite natural because even in why are you laughing?
I know, Colleen, just like, what is he about to say? He's gonna put anxiety in it. What's the name of your therapist? Teresa?
Suzanne.
Suzanne's gonna be like, what did Greg say this time? There's a lot of therapists in the South and they're like, what did Greg say this time?
And how did it make
Let's
you
work
feel?
Through it.
I'm just talking about the Eagles. I picked them to win the Super Bowl this year, but the way Dan phrased the question, is it gonna be tougher sledding throughout this season? That's how the NFL usually works. And I guess that's where I was going with the Bengals too. Like, these teams towards the top, with the exception of the Brady Patriots, the Manning Colts, mm-hmm. the Rodgers Packers, for the most part. There are exceptions that stay in the top 3 to 4 seeds almost every year. It's just hard to keep staying there each and every season. And I think the Eagles can ultimately, but I think having a bumpy ride, mm-hmm. certainly bumpier than a year ago, the schedule, everything, is totally natural, and we'll test them. Doesn't mean I'm giving up faith in them, but I think it'll test them.
It's not like I don't think the Eagles are cooked or anything. I think it's a full offseason of all their opponents, including the division opponents, really studying what they did last year. It's a guy like Belichick having the summer to get ready for that game. It's just they're not going to take people by surprise. Here is that drive chart, by the way. So they jump out 3-0. Then they get the pick six. It's 10-0. Uh-huh. Then they have a short field, and they go 26 yards. To make it 16-0 against the Eagles. After that, 3 and out. Mm-hmm. After halftime, they have a field goal drive.
A bunch of long field goals.
Field goal drive. And then when it was closeout time, that was what really kind of...
It was bad.
Last year, they just closed teams out.
It felt like they just hung on.
Fumble. Bad Jalen Hurts fumble.
He doesn't do that either.
Unless it's the Super Bowl. Downs and gave the Pats one more chance. So not a great offensive effort. Let's see what they look
like. And you know what?
Week.
You're right, because I was thinking during this game, like, why aren't they going to Dallas Goedert? Like, he had zero catches in this game. He didn't get his first target until the fourth quarter. He needs to be involved in the offense. He's so good. There were just a lot of questionable decisions.
They didn't get inside the Patriots 30 after their first drive of the game, other than when they turned it over that one time. So that that's like 10 straight drives, not inside the 30. And what you hit on with Swift and then you just did with Goddard, I actually think that's the number one thing that's going to be most difficult to manage. I actually had the conspiracy theory that maybe they didn't add like a really high level third receiver this year or draft one, just because like it's going to be tough to keep A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Goddard, everyone happy. And that is something to manage when you have players that are all that good.
Even last year,
it's
though,
a nice problem to have.
Week one last year, when A.J. Brown had just gotten to Philly, Devontae Smith had zero catches in that game. I don't even know how many times he was targeted, but he was not involved at all. And so they fixed it. They pivoted and moved on. Season.
But you got to keep racking up 450 yards a game to keep everyone happy like that. Yeah.
The annoyed T-Swift quote was like someone asked, a reporter asked Sirianni, hey, two touches for Swift in this game. Is like, that's not something that we intend to do. And then Swift was told about it. And he goes, oh, that's the first that I heard that. So there's just like a little
D Swift, not T Swift.
D Swift.
T Swift is making some football news too, but we'll get that.
Like,
we'll get to that
Taylor
later.
Swift say?
Sometime this week.
Go ahead, Greg.
Oh, wait. I had a fun, dumb question.
All right.
I am going to ask a dumb question after watching Dolphins and Chargers over the weekend. I don't want to be prisoner of the moment, but is it a dumb question to say that Tua Tagovailoa actually fits what Mike McDaniel wants to do maybe better than Justin Herbert even? You know, I am Mr. Mm-hmm. Justin Herbert. In a vacuum, I would take Justin Herbert 10 times out of 10. And you got to worry about what Tua is health-wise and stuff. But just for that specific offense, kind of the McDaniel-Shanahan offense, is Tua kind of the perfect guy for that specific offense, which is just get through your reads, get rid of the ball as quickly as possible?
He kind of looks like it. At least he did there. I cannot believe.
That's a dumb question.
Okay. Maybe that's not
you know
dumb
what?
Enough.
It's kind of an obvious one, right? He's a perfect
Well, we were going to do one dumb question you said to make
is,
a second one.
It
fell apart.
Get that guy a five-hour energy shot.
It works.
Okay. Perfect.
All right. Here's a dumb question then.
No, you can't get... No, you just did one.
Okay. Well, I was trying to
you might
come up with
ours.
A dumb one.
He's definitely not going to take mine.
Actually
I can promise
I was,
you that.
Right. I was choosing between two. Go ahead, Colleen.
Let's go around.
We have a lot of
previews. You have one that's really good, yeah.
Okay.
Do you have one that you like, Colleen?
I do have one. I need to write... I wrote this down on a piece of paper last night because I was like, you know what? I need to throw this out to the group. So there was... a movie shooting at our house. Our friends were shooting a movie for a couple days. And actually, the radio voice of the Titans, Mike Keith, his son,
Touchdown!
Matt Keith, was there as a script supervisor.
Whoa.
who, oh my God, lovely. That whole family. I just like shout out to them. But when they brought in all of the food for everyone that was there, it was a lot of Panda Express for one of the nights. So I just was wondering, does Panda Express also give you guys nightmares?
Oh, okay. So we're off the beaten path. Like actual eating it makes me have nightmares.
Yeah, like nightmare fuel.
Never like put
MSG,
two and two together.
It's a special like sort of MSG that gives you nightmares.
Driving 100 miles an hour up a one-way street covered in snow on a windy road.
No brakes.
Yeah.
You're blaming that on the express, not thinking about the extra work that you have to do with Stephanie or who is it, Samantha?
Suzanne.
Trudy.
Trudy. I've never clocked it, but it's possible.
I haven't had it since. It's been a while. It's been a while.
Long time.
It's been since like the high school mall. It's right across the street from. This is like the second time Panda Express has come up recently. Right across the street from my kids' elementary school. So I smell it quite often. The waft of it, and I don't want it. There's too much good Chinese food around. I don't want it.
You know. Well, that's interesting because growing up in New York, the cheap Chinese food was so delicious.
Bad Chinese food's the best.
Yeah, but Panda Express
food
is not
here.
That.
And Panda Express falls under this. It's like I don't have a craving for Panda Express, and then when I have Chinese food, like that takeout Chinese food here, it's like, what is this trying to be? Because this is not what it's like back on the other side of the country. So I don't really have a big connection. By the way, my nightmares are a little different. Mine always are rooted, and they make them more terrifying. They're more rooted in a sense of reality, such as the one I had last night, because we were talking about a potential trip to London for the podcast, and I had a nightmare that I'm at the airport, and we're getting on the plane, and then I don't have my passport.
Ooh.
Well, those are kind of like the ones
that literally
happened.
Almost. One time we were going to London, you were on the way there and realized you didn't have a passport, and then Emily had to bring it to the airport. Am I right?
That was like some other weird card or something we needed. It wasn't the passport.
I think it was
like
a
Vax card or some erroneous.
Oh. That's true.
I will say, though,
it was superfluous.
One of the other dreams I had was you guys were all in it and Patrick Claibon. And I told Claibon this yesterday when I saw him in the garage that we all quit to become construction workers.
Okay. I would do that.
So
there's honesty to that work. That's like at the end of Office Space. That's what the main character went into. He just said, I'm gonna do construction. There's nothing wrong with that. All right, I got a dumb question. Are the Chicago Bears gonna have the first overall pick again?
Ooh.
Can I want to pull up
it's harsh.
I want to pull up something that's been going around the web on social media here, and it is Chase Claypool's effort level in week one against the rival Packers. Do we have that?
Oh, my gosh. Steelers fans have been talking about this
training camp. Remember, the Bears traded away a high-value draft pick to Chase
at the top of the second round.
All right, what do we got? Let's just keep an eye on this. There is a lot of outside perimeter blocking that he is opting out of entirely. He also was targeted twice without a catch. He went into the tent a couple times, but has no injury designation.
Ooh.
And notably, Matt Eberflus would not commit to him being active for week two.
No.
Now, a couple other things. Here is reporting from Dan Wiederer, who covers the Bears beat reporter for the Tribune. Justin Fields acknowledged in his words that the offense was, quote, too conservative with taking chances down the field against the Packers. Asked why Fields shrugged. I'm not sure. I don't know. And then finally, this note from, again, Wiederer. Hope I'm pronouncing that right. In my time covering the NFL, I can't really remember a time where on a Wednesday of week two, a building seemed so apparently shaken by and or short on answers for what happened in week one. That is, to me, a huge red flag. That is a coaching staff that we had questions about entering the season. That is a team that laid a major week one egg. We talked about how important that game was for the organization post Aaron Rodgers with the Packers at home after all the money and resources that came into that roster to flatline in that game. You wonder if you wonder if the coaching staff has its arms around this team and have the ability to get them out of this funk.
I mean, do you think that they'll be worse than the Cardinals?
Is it a dumb question to ask that this is a potential train wreck?
I mean, anything after 1 week doesn't feel feels like, yes, that's dumb to throw them okay. under the bus. But I am also the same person who went in on their under 7.5 and thought they had a ways to go when we did that over-under pod with Bill Barnwell. And that was the most concerning week one game, whereas I took an early look at the old schedule, just keep an eye on locks here
schedule.
Because, you know, we got these primetime games. You got to kind of consider it even earlier. Truth. And I was like, the Bucks at home against the Bears. Is that a game you would lock at? It's like, if you had told me I would be considering locking up the Bucks in week two, that's a bad sign for the Bears. Yeah. Maybe it's not dumb.
I actually was even thinking about, for a dumb question, will the Bears ever be good again?
Oh.
That's, I feel like every year I want them to be, they should be. I was talking up DJ Moore, and DJ Moore and Chase Claypool were both complete non-factors in this game.
It's early.
I
but
want
that
them
was,
to be.
They need a week
as foreboding
two.
As possible.
And they have a great week two opponent to try to get off the schneid and make you feel better. But there is something to the fact when you're the head coach and you have the same coordinator and the same quarterback, and you've lost 11 straight games. I mean, I know it's one season, it's a new season, but that's something.
That's fair, dog. That's fair. Mm-hmm. All right, do you want to throw out one more?
Let's go to
All
the
right.
previews.
Let's take a break, and then we'll hit the previews starting week two primetime games.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or, like, put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self, and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, we're back. I'm back. Let's go. Everything is okay. Everything's fine.
No. I mean, your
the
team,
5 hour actually
your team is not involved
now.
In this supersized Wednesday primetime preview. I guess every week we have London games though too. We'll have an extra game in this.
How about that? How about that? All right, let's get to the Thursday night football contest first.
Okay.
The Minnesota Vikings. Ooh, the Minnesota Vikings really tripped on their own wires in week one against the Bucks, finding a way to lose that game at home. Bad turnovers, couldn't get the big stop at the end to get the ball back, and the Bucks escape with a one-point win. Now, the reward, Greggy, is they go to Philly to face the Eagles, who, as we just talked about, didn't have a great week one, especially on offense, but they're home. And I do remember, Greg, how the Vikings and specifically Kirk Cousins played in primetime against Philly 1 year ago around this time.
Either that was week two or week three.
It was exactly week two.
Okay, so I believe that was Monday
night.
Brutal. Now we're here at Thursday night, but that is such a tough ask. And to spin it a little positive for the Eagles, they have to be so excited about what they got out of their Georgia Bulldog.
Oh, yeah.
Jalen Carter in week one.
My defensive rookie of the year pick.
Had eight pressures. And, oh, by the way, his old college teammate, Jordan Davis, had the best game of his career. Second-year player, if you remember. An enormous man who certainly had a slow start to his career, was only getting 10, 15 snaps per game. They had to sign some guy. He played 35 snaps. He had a forced fumble. He had a sack. He was very active. And I think of those two guys, and I think these guys are going to be a problem. And, oh, who are they playing this week? The team that gave up more interior pressures than any team in the NFL, who had Kirk Cousins getting killed all last year, and who didn't make any changes to their interior line. It's actually the exact same three guys. And what did you see in that Tampa game? You saw a lot of pressure up the middle. You saw them sending a lot of blitz. I could see the Eagles being creative. I can see them not needing to be creative because Carter and Davis are getting after them. I think that's a very positive sign for the Eagles.
And the Vikings already ruled out their center, Garrett Bradbury.
Yep.
So that's a huge, huge factor in this.
Who's probably the best of their three guys. Their two guards especially really struggle.
The Eagles line is just so talented. Like, no matter how you spin it, you're not going to be able to double everyone there. And Jalen Carter was absolutely that dude in this game. He was a force. Working against the Patriots guards, who aren't that great, but still, he looked really, really good. But when you think about the game last year against the Vikings and how bad the Vikings looked, the one thing that's really different this year is the defensive coordinator and the way that Brian Flores runs things, because he blitzes so much. And that's one of the things that I'll be watching, because Jalen Hurts, he was blitzed a lot in the game against the Patriots, and he was all right. I thought the offensive line didn't hold up as well as it normally does, but they were in a lot of situations where they were in obvious passing situations, in a lot of long third downs. I mean, they got to be better on those early downs. But this is, I mean, they need to improve in that. But obviously, Ed Donatell, who was the defensive coordinator for the Vikings last year, he didn't blitz nearly as much.
Right, but Flores led the league in how many times he blitzed last week, but they only had two quarterback hits on Baker.
True.
Who holds the ball a little bit. So that's a little concerning. Like, they might not have the juice, and they're a risk-taking defense. They need to get home more, is what I'm saying, if you're a Vikings fan.
I've seen Kirk Cousins play great games. I've seen him play bad games. We all have. I've never seen him look as shook as he did that game. And if you go back, you look at his box score. I don't even need to, but I know it was bad. If you watch the tape, I remember he probably could have thrown two or three more interceptions that he even got credited with. He was completely shook. And I did Thursday Night Football lock last week, and
it's not lockable.
Are you sure about that? That's not what I'm seeing. Let's go with DraftKings as our official.
Okay.
What are we at?
You know, these lines move. Sometimes I look at them at one point, and I see a big honking seven, and it's down to six.
Okay, I'm going to grab the Eagles. Listen, is the mirror a little foggy? Cut me some slack, okay? It's been a tough week. We're going to lock up the Eagles. I don't like locking up Thursday games. I don't like locking up Thursday night games ever, because they're just funky. But I just don't love what I saw from the Vikings in week one. Don't love the way Kirk Cousins played last year against the same opponent in the same setup. So I think the Eagles are going to get me back to 500 in the locks.
Justin Jefferson, though, I mean, I know that he did not look good last year against the Eagles. Darius Slay completely locked him up. But James Bradbury is in concussion protocol on a short week, so they're going to be shorthanded cornerbacks. So that could be a problem because they also have Jordan Addison.
No, you know how I don't like doing the same. Because this is probably the best one on the board.
I don't have any issues with it. I mean,
no, I just don't like the feel of it. I like
vibes
having,
are off.
Having different ones. It's just
he doesn't like me
thing.
Taking him by the hand and walking with him. He likes to lead with his chest out.
I definitely don't like that either. I did think the Vikings offense, despite a few major blunders, like the O lineman stepping on Cousins' foot and a wacky screen play, like they had some pretty big blunders, actually looked like the Vikings offense and threw the ball pretty well against Tampa. If you can attack Philly, it's in the middle of the field. Maybe their safeties, their linebackers.
Kobe Dean just lost is out for a bit.
Dean, like, that's where the Patriots won over and over again. It was a good performance by Mac Jones for the most part. So I think the Vikings could actually move the ball. That said, I would even take Eagles -6. I'd take them to cover.
Yeah, I think the Vikings were far from hopeless on offense. They moved the ball really well, especially through the air. Didn't love their running game. Didn't have a lot of support there. And then just they made a bunch of dumb plays that cost them that game.
All right, I'm going to lock it up, too.
Right. Wow.
I mean.
Guys, hold hands.
I can just. I just know Nick's going to get after us because, yeah, this one.
Now, you have your own stuff with Nick. Don't bring me into it with this us stuff. That's you and Nick. That's you and Nick Wessling. That's you and the
Should we
Cincinnati
bring in Suzanne
fan.
For this?
Yeah, let's get her in here. By the way, during my deeply unemployed era in the late aughts, early tens, I interviewed in person like over an hour with TMZ, who are launching a sports division. And you know the guy that with the dreadlocks that's like Harvey Levin's guy?
Yeah.
Like me and him one-on-one, just like talking for like 90 minutes, maybe even. It was like a long time. Like, I guess I'm going to get this job. Didn't even really want it, but I needed a job.
Yeah.
Never called me back. That's fine. Whatever. I thought about that just now when I looked at a text you sent last night. A headline from TMZ Sports. NFL's Fletcher Cox sued. You ruined my marriage when you banged my wife, Slammer.
Okay. I sent it to you guys. This is from
I did not think
ago.
This should be on the show. This is from when?
I sent it to you guys because I was putting together these notes and I was not thinking. And as I mentioned earlier, I asked Google a lot of stupid questions and I just typed in Fletcher Cox banged up instead of like injury or anything like that. And that was what
Oh,
came
this
up.
Is from 2017.
Yeah. And I was like, why is my computer doing this?
I thought this was like a current event story from the people at TMZ Sports.
It is years old. It's basically when you were doing the TMZ interview. That's what
got
it.
This was just a report, Greg, from TMZ years ago. I don't know what the outcome was.
I was not aware of this story, and I'm glad that I am.
I'm merely sending along what was a report from a news organization I once interviewed with, and perhaps I'm happy I ended up at a different organization. As it turned
good
out.
Good TNF game, though. Al's got to be happy. I know Al was, like, really pumped up that the first Thursday night game of the year, Sunday night game of the year.
Lions Chiefs.
He's just rooting against that. Now he's got, hopefully, a good one.
I don't know. How many years does Al have left on his contract? You never know how much Al Michaels you have left. I'm looking forward to it. Let's move to Sunday night football. But you feel good about the Eagles, right?
Yeah, if they lose this week, I won't feel good.
And I did say the last segment, I was a little eye on their offense a little bit, but I just think at home in prime time, they'll be all right. Right? I also thought the Chiefs are going to be all right in week one at home.
I know.
I'm with you. I think they're going to
You can't know anything until 4 weeks have been played. That's my rule.
Hey, the season doesn't start until after Thanksgiving. Back after this. All right, let's move to... Sunday Night Football. The game is a good one as I pull it up.
It is Dolphins and Patriots.
Dolphins and Pats. A great AFC East matchup. I think some people are going to be a little underwhelmed by this. For instance, how is the Tom Brady ringing this dumbbell thing and running on that, which is very cool. If I was a Patriots fan, I'd love him with a jersey on for the first time. How's that not the Sunday night halftime?
I love Tom Brady.
Why are you doing the week one? It's fine, whatever. But the way they played on defense, Connie, the Pats make me think this is a great, great game because, yes, the Dolphins were unstoppable in week one, but there's a difference between the Chargers at home with Brandon Staley and all the letdown juice that emits from every pore that they have. And Bill Belichick in prime time in his backyard. I'm Bill, and I'm going to take care of business. It's going to be a lot different this time around, too. You better be careful.
Did you see the game last night?
Did you see the game on Monday? Did you watch the game on Monday?
Yeah, the Patriots' defense looked great. Shocker that Bill Belichick's defense played really well and had a nice start there. They held the Eagles to 9 points after the first quarter, which we talked about before. Limited the Eagles to 251 total yards. I mean, but... Tua and Tyreek, like, can I would love to see. I can't wait to see how they play this game and if they can limit Tyreek Hill, because it seems like he is someone that you absolutely can't. I mean, he played, what, he had 215 receiving yards in this game. And then even Tua, when he threw that interception in the game against the Chargers, he wasn't frazzled at all. He came right back and went deep again to Tyreek. So it was like no problem for him. He was completely unfazed. But I think the biggest thing that I'm watching for the Dolphins defensively, can they clean things up and like really play up to the potential that they have? Because the Dolphins gave up 433 yards, 34 points to the Chargers. Like, I want to know if maybe the Patriots run game will actually come alive, considering what this Dolphins run defense looked like against the Chargers. They were completely bulldozed.
I already saw too much Zeke in week one, by the way.
Oh, and it was weird. It was just weird to see him in that uniform.
He looked okay, but
all right, but we don't need him so much.
It's a lot of Zeke. I mean, as you mentioned, the guards, that they had a bunch of injuries.
They didn't even start their
two rookie guards, Antonio Mafi and Sidy Sow, playing the guard position. Calvin Anderson, kind of a retread, who was on the NFI list for most of the preseason, started right tackle. They're playing DeMario Douglas, a late round pick. They're playing Kendrick Bourne more than Juju Smith-Schuster. I mean, not Kendrick Bourne. They're playing Kayshon Booty more than Juju Smith-Schuster, an undrafted rookie.
Wow.
They got Zeke out there. You got Ty Montgomery. It's like the talent's not great, and yet I came away from that game being like, Bill O'Brien got guys open. That was the best Mac Jones game. I mean, Mac Jones was way up and way down.
Uh-huh.
He was third in the NFL last week in big-time throws, only behind Tua and Matthew Stafford. He was third in the NFL in turnover-worthy plays. So it was like a big ups and downs, Mac, but at least he got some ups. You didn't have that last year.
That first drive was brutal.
I think the Dolphins, to your point, will kind of invite them to run. That's what Vic Fangio does, and I think Belichick will be happy to.
They
at least try to.
Belichick's defense last year held the Dolphins under 340 yards total in both games. The second time, I think there was no Tua.
Tua, I went and looked, too. I think Tua's played him three times. And
four times and has won all four.
And his numbers have been low.
But I just think that's going to be the storyline.
Dolphins have won.
I think that's the storyline of this game. I think people are going to be expecting the Dolphins to carve again. I don't think it's going to be that type of game. And if they come out of this game in this environment, and I'm not really high on the Pats, but I feel like this is set up well for them to get a win and get back to 500. If the Dolphins win a different type of game here, where they're able to kind of go a little more smash mouth, hit passes and crunch time that are just, you're not running all over the field uncovered, and they get out of here with like a 2017 win, I'm going to be like, all right, now we're really starting to talk to the Dolphins. I think they could win in different ways. The Mac Jones side of it, he was very, watching him this morning, very up and down. There was a pass.
But overall, I would say quite good. That would have been his one of it. That would have been his best game.
His
from
arm
all of
strength
last season
is definitely on my radar.
It's not great.
There are balls that, like, there was a ball late. I think maybe it was Kendrick Bourne. Maybe Bourne should have caught it, but the ball kind of just floats in there.
Oh, he got really hit. That was one of his best throws.
He had another one.
He got hit in the head.
Where he threw one in crunch time, a big spot in the game, and it got almost intercepted at the line of scrimmage, and he got away with it. I'm not sold on Mac. I know you see him as a bounce back guy this year. I think it's going to be a lower scoring game. And I think that's what we're going to be talking about on Monday night, that the Dolphins didn't have their way. Now, do they still find a way to win? We shall see.
I hate this spot for the Patriots, because I think the Dolphins are really good. They had 16 explosives last week. That was the second most. I used this stat on our NFL Plus rewatch of Chargers Dolphins. Everyone should check out that on NFL Plus. That was fun. Tua just was so good. He was the best quarterback in the league. His placement, his creativity, his deep stuff, like, he looked like a guy ready to take a next step. And that worries me, because the weird reaction in Foxborough, it was like they won this game. Everyone in New England is all fired up. It's like the biggest moral victory party I've ever seen. I'm very surprised by this, because I looked at it and I was like, you got to take advantage when you outplay the opponent, which I think they did against the Eagles overall. You outgained them by 140. You got to take advantage of that, because you're not necessarily going to play at that level every week. And you have two straight home games to start the season. If you don't win this one, like, that's great. Here's your lollipop. You're 0-2. Like, this is almost, it's not a must win, but you start at home 0-2. You're not going to be
Because after that, they go on the road position against the Jets and the Cowboys.
Right. So I think it's a big game, and they could certainly win it. I think it's a coin flip, but it's a tough one.
I want the Pats to win because I want the AFC East to be kind of muddled with everybody like around 500 or 1-1, and I don't want the Pats going against the Jets in Week 3 in cornered animal mode.
Oh yeah,
Belichick being like needing that win, so get a nice W here. And then no show against the Jets. Mac Jones just thrown wounded ducks across the secondary. And the Jets safety's like genuflecting and doing the sign of the cross before they get the interception. They're playing Mac.
Root against the Dolphins because I think they're a big threat to everyone. But don't root for that result because of what you said, because every Jets game is a cornered animal game to Bill Belichick. He is not letting go.
I would love exactly to root for the Patriots.
It's they bring out their best stuff.
He's a competitor. If the Dolphins run roughshod over Belichick in primetime here on the road, that will be, I know it's early, Greggy, but a major statement.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
I feel like Belichick will just have like the red laser eyes.
They got some weird things going on though too. They have a lot of guys making a lot of money on their defense. Agba, Bradley Chubb, Xavier Howard, David Long, who either didn't play much Long and Agba, that was weird, or just didn't play well. So they got issues to work.
Greg, I have no idea how you read any of your notes. I've never seen handwriting this small in my life. I feel like I need a telescope.
I got those contacts in.
Wow.
What do you want to do?
That is impressive.
How do you like people looking at your stuff?
I'm fine with it.
It's your private stuff.
Yes.
You do to Mark all the time.
I'm good. I want to show my work.
I have no problem.
Maybe I'll send it out. Send it on my IG. Too.
Little Christian Gonzalez one-on-one with Tyreek in this game.
I think he looked solid.
He's active. I'll give him that.
Bill Belichick. He takes away your best weapon. Look, Bill Belichick has a lot of practice trying to take away Tyreek Hill. A lot of big Chiefs games now twice a year with the Dolphins. I would think they'll do everything possible to bracket him and make Jalen Waddle, who's great, and everyone else beat them. We didn't mention it on the show, but they lost Jack Jones, their starting cornerback, to IR right off the top. So they're a little thinner than they'd like.
All right. And then
two Monday night games.
Uh-huh. First one up is Saints at Panthers. Saints laying 3 points of wood here. Colleen is on.
I'm doing both things. I can do two things at once here.
I can't.
Two new quarterbacks for these teams.
here are the Saints. Now they're coming off that narrow win in week one over the Titans, 16-15. You're going to want to see some more from them, I guess, on offense. The Panthers, though, Colleen, set up as a nice matchup because that's a team that you kind of want to see more from on offense. But I don't know if they're ready to give you more on offense right now. So maybe another low-scoring game, maybe one-sided affair. We shall see.
Could be. I mean, for Bryce Young, it's his first game at home, his first primetime game. I guess it's nice that it's his second division game in week two. But he needs to limit the turnovers, as any young quarterback, as any quarterback in general, needs to do. But he was picked off twice last week by Jesse Bates, who looked really good. But he did sort of look poised, I thought, at moments. And he kind of had a problem because the receivers couldn't really get a ton of separation, except on that one where Jonathan Mingo like streaked the length of the field, and he completely overshot him on that. So for Bryce Young, it's 1 week in the NFL, so I'm curious to see how he'll look against the Saints defense that looked really, really good last week, especially that secondary. They combined for 3 interceptions against the Titans. They completely shut down Derrick Henry. He couldn't go anywhere. But there's a lot to kind of unpack with this game, I think.
I think it's a tough ask. I told Eric to get the lock sound ready because I was going to lock up the Saints at this spot before Dan alerted me to
that would be chest out
a slightly better option. The only thing that worries me is the Saints always lose in this spot, but that was like different coaching staff. They just really have struggled beating Carolina, especially in Carolina, and it's a Dennis Allen team that I don't trust. But Bryce Young struggled, let's be real. 2 for 10 on throws over 10 yards with 2 picks, 23 yards. And Marshawn Lattimore, like a lot of cornerbacks, is a little up and down, but man, he has that look this year of a guy that's going to maybe be in the mix for all pro first team cornerback. DeMario Davis, he just gets better and better. It makes no sense. He was dominant last week, and
How old is he now?
I think both offenses could struggle here because Carolina's defense certainly has talent and could look good, could stuff the run. I don't trust the Saints run game, but I think it's just going to be tough for the Panthers to score all season, and especially in this matchup.
This is the second screen game for me. This is the iPad screen game for me on Monday night, but doesn't mean it doesn't have value. Move the sticks. I had a good take. And he should. I mean, if he just had a platform to share these things,
I can't believe it.
That would be a huge boon to his career potentially. But he pointed out that he wasn't happy with the overall game plan and the scheme of the Panthers on offense in Week One against the Falcons. They were not challenging Atlanta downfield until very late in the game. And he referred. I like the way he said it. He said it was half court basketball, 22 bodies. The safeties had zero fear of anything over the top. They need to take more early shots to expand the field, or Bryce is going to have a hard time all year. Do they have the dogs to do that? I mean, it's not Adam Thielen at this stage. Like, who do you trust in a post-D-Moore world to make those plays?
Right. Mingo is a second-round pick who's got some vertical ability, but they were using him in a big spot a lot, and it's a lot to ask of a second-round pick.
Yeah, that's I feel like they haven't really set him up yet to really succeed. But the Saints offense, they need to protect Derek Carr way better than
they
did.
That's where the Panthers could win, maybe.
Yeah.
And he said, and we talked about it on Sunday, that was a very physical Tennessee defense, one of the better defensive lines in the league. He took a beating, and now he's on a short week. But Derek Carr is a tough SOB. In fact, stick a pin in that, and for you NFL Plus people, we're going to talk about Derek Carr on our Thursday NFL Plus program. Let's move to the second Monday Night Football game. I love this one. Love AFC North games. Love the Browns versus the Steelers at the ketchup bottle. I still call it Heinz.
Acrisure?
I'm not getting no paycheck from Acrisure.
Heinz
You're not
field.
Getting one from Heinz either.
But I like Heinz.
I do ketchup. Like ketchup.
If I am at the store... And it is the like the Ralph's brand for $2.19, and then Heinz for $2.39. Baby, I'm paying the extra $2.
Oh yeah,
but if it's $3.19, it's a whole extra dollar.
It's typically not, but then now we're talking. If we're going over a dollar, A1 or nothing.
Seven steak sauce.
I think that's in the Heinz family.
It's got to be, right?
I don't know. We'll look into it. Hey Eric, can you check if A1 is produced by the Heinz company? Thank you. That's why you have to have a top-rate producer. Mm-hmm. Browns. I was so impressed watching the Browns, by the way, in Week One against the Bengals. The defense, what else needs to be said, Greggy? But I thought the offense, while they didn't blow the doors off in a bad weather game, I saw enough there to also feel like there's a lot of room for improvement. And I like them a lot in this game, especially with the Steelers.
Missing, is he gonna? He already did.
But Cam Hayward is a huge player on the Pittsburgh defense, a massive contributor, the biggest contributor other than Watt. He's out half the season. They think he could be out 8 weeks. And on the other side, Deontay Johnson, who's a very talented wideout that gives their offense depth and a big-time playmaker, he's missing a month at least with a hamstring, Greggy. So you have a shorthanded Steelers team. Coming off a horrific Week One performance, and the Browns coming in feeling no pain.
Right, but that's partly why I think the Steelers at home definitely. I don't know. I guess it's not a quarter animal if you're 0-1, but they need this game. And you know, I would lean Steelers just, but barely. You're right. The offense for the Browns looked better. The run game looked good. It should, but the blocking was good. I know they lost Jack Conklin. We talked about that, but I thought Deshaun Watson was better. His eyes still came down a little quickly a few times and just looking to run, but he is looking to run and he's a good runner, and that bailed him out a few times. But throwing the ball for a team that reportedly really struggled to put together multiple first downs in practice and camp, it didn't look bad. He had a couple old Deshaun Watson throws. I would say he was closer to just like the league average quarterback this week. It was not a great performance, but it was tough weather situation. It was Week One. I think if you're a Browns fan, that's definitely something to hold on to, that was progress. I would say that was better than any one of his six games last year, because that was such a low bar, but he did clear it. And we talked about it this offseason that, like, look, if he's even just okay, they have a chance to win a lot of games.
Yeah, and he will have to go and face T.J. Watt, who looked incredible last week. That was one of the bright spots for the Steelers.
It was the only bright spot.
It was the only bright spot.
In that game.
Three sacks in that game. He looked fantastic. But it's the Browns' defense for me and Jim Schwartz. They looked totally different. I mean, Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith were all over Burrow nonstop in this game. The secondary was money. They had blankets on the receivers the entire time. And what a glow up for Grant Delpit. I mean, he did not look like this with Joe Woods as the coordinator. Mm. And in this game, he had a team high 8 tackles. He stopped a ton of first downs. Like, he was great in this game. So, yes, it was rainy conditions, but they absolutely shut down Cincinnati.
The reason why I was even more impressed with Cleveland after watching the game was it didn't feel like the Bengals ever even had a chance. Really,
never.
That when Burrow dropped back to pass, the coverage was so good and they were so they had him cooked up so well. And then the defensive line, led of course by Garrett, was getting home, and it was just like a complete performance. Mm-hmm. And the weather again, that factored in. And of course the opponent, the quarterback's layoff, I think it made maybe Cleveland look like they were the 85 Bears. I'm not saying they're that. But I think especially the way Kenny Pickett played and the offense looked in week one, this is going to be a tough assignment. And it's going to be, I don't know where Sizzler's head's at on this, because you got the Browns going to Pittsburgh here. And what would be a happy outcome for him? I think I know what it would be. But Steelers, that for Pickett, that's going to be a lot of pressure on him. Because the Boo Birds were out a little bit in week one after all the positive press. He can't go out there and stink out the joint in primetime in week two and do that again. And the Browns are not going to make it easy on him.
He looked like a totally different quarterback than we saw in the preseason. He was accurate in the preseason. Like, they were scoring. This offense did not look like themselves at all. And when you go back to last year, essentially no one won the week after they played the Niners because it is such a physical matchup. So that's also bad news for the Steelers.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
Wait, nobody wins after the...
I think it was like maybe... I got to go back and look, but I think it was only like one or two teams
won
the following week after playing the Niners. Someone check that.
I was taken by Mike Tomlin's quote where he said... Look, I watched the film, and those cornerbacks for the Browns won the game for them.
Mm-hmm.
He just said it clearly. And on paper, they do. It's maybe not as well known, but it's one of the better trios in the league. Denzel Ward, people know, have been there a long time, but Martin Emerson, Greg Newsom, and then with this defense where they're using Garrett on the inside more, kind of lining up as a defensive tackle or even kind of a linebacker in rushing. Like, he did it more in that game almost than he did all of last season. And Za'Darius Smith defense, I've believed this for a long time, it's not as much on offense as about the players. It is, the players matter, but it's more about, like, and it can change from year to year. I remember the Bengals defense 2 years ago. Immediately you could see, wow, they're playing just more together with more energy, more physicality. They want it. Like, they just, you can see it. And you can kind of see that with this Browns defense. You think that could be consistent, where they're just going to play with a great level of physicality and energy. And that goes a long way on defense. It's a big week two game. That's what's great about the NFL, Dan.
It's good.
Like, the importance,
it's
just
good
keeps,
sport.
Mm-hmm. It keeps stacking up as it goes.
Stacking importance.
Would I also be okay just pushing pause and coming back and with the NFL next September? I would be okay with that. Like, week two. We do in like September 17th, 2023. Uh-huh. And then anybody on IR or anything like that can play.
But
like, that's how
you would be willing to sit out a year of your life just to get to next season.
Well, just so like everyone could be
good
on
question.
The field again. And
not
I would, I would.
Wait, now what about what's happening in your actual life
outside
family. Of football? Like, do you miss a year of your kids' development, all those baseball
games?
No,
everything else goes on. The NFL pauses, and when they come back after a year of rehab and rehabilitation, I mean, after just a year of time passes, it's still the 2023 season, and it'll be a little confusing because by the end of the 2023 season, it'll be 2025 at that point. But we're all just going to be like, we get it. Like, okay. It was just a different type
of game. Also, like, when you're, you know, going to, you're still coaching the baseball teams and whatnot. Are you working during this year?
Yeah, exactly. You're just asking for a year vacation.
And when you are working, what are you coming here and doing?
Yeah, I'm doing construction. in and around Englewood.
We're going to the site.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's
you
go.
Guys can keep doing podcasts previewing the season. I'm taking a I think you could do that. I think if I go to HR and I'm like, tough sitch for me. I'm talking to Teresa a lot.
Yeah.
I need to do some
Teresa is your Suzanne.
Oh, Suzanne. I'm talking to Suzanne. I gotta do some construction until Aaron Rodgers' ankle and Achilles is better. And they'll be like, well, we can't tell you. You can't go see Suzanne. So you're going to do it and you're going to do construction. And then here we go.
A construction sabbatical. Beautiful.
I think the Browns were slept on this offseason. I've said that. I think some of the reasons why people weren't picking the Browns were things that not necessarily are about football. And I get that too. But I think they're going to drop a bomb on the Steelers. Mm-hmm. I almost want to pick it up. But if I would have won in week one, maybe I would have been feeling a little randy and do it. A little big funk and I would have done it, but I'm not. So, but I think this will be a one-sided Browns victory. People are flying. People will be quietly flying and not saying that they're flying. And some people will be out of their chairs flying. People will be asking two questions on Tuesday morning. What's wrong with the Steelers? Mm-hmm. And wow, are the Browns going to win this division?
Wow. And if that Ooh. Happens, yeah, I'm looking forward to the Monday night recap that we'll be doing with the Sizzler. Because my cold, empty, analytical heart would say this is a game to me that circles like Steelers. Because if this game was played a week ago, the Steelers would have been 3-point favorites, maybe 3.5. Two teams, both expected to be at a similar level going into the season, but Steelers a little higher, a little better, a lot of talent. I know they've had a bad week, certainly on the field, and then the injuries. Fast forward a week, not that much has changed. They are now they're now 2.5-point underdogs in this game, and that usually is the moment where the desert wins.
I kind of thought the Browns were. I put the Browns above the Steelers going into the season.
Okay, so both
not
of
by
you,
much, but
both
yeah,
of you had it that way.
All right. That's it. Hey, Eric, behind the glass, do you have an answer? That's like the most important question. Go ahead.
Of course. A1 is, in fact, a Heinz product.
There we go.
And Acrisure, they did not wipe all of the Heinz references. So I guess towards the end of last season, they put a Heinz name above Gate C, guys.
I mean,
And there is the Heinz.
What does that even mean?
So they put like Heinz logos above. I guess it comes out of the Allegheny light rail system. So that's their.
He
homage.
Really went in the weeds.
Like I see what you're doing, Corpos. By the way, it's like Jiha Stadium at Arrowhead Field. It's like F you. It is. You want to call it Heinz Field at Acrisure Stadium? Not going to do it.
But the best part, guys, is every time the Steelers enter the red zone, they enter the Heinz Ketchup red zone when digital ketchup bottles pour all over the scoreboard.
There
you go.
Very good.
Nobody knows what Acrisure is still.
All right.
It hasn't worked.
We don't know.
We don't know anything about the Niners last year teams.
Oh, we do. Yeah, this was from Sam. Sam, he sent this over there. They are, 1-12 after playing the Niners this year? Let me see. I pulled it up a lot.
I mean, that's impossible. There's many more games in the season.
The NFL teams have a 1-12 record in weeks after playing the 49ers.
Okay. I take it back. Maybe they had bye weeks the week after, and that's why.
Oh, that makes sense.
Sometimes I stick the old foot in the mouth.
Right in the old mouth. All right, that's it. Colleen, you've said it all. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, guys. Should I come back next Wednesday?
If you're not booked out with Suzanne.
Yeah. Or at the site.
If you don't have a conflict, please join us.
All right.
Let Melanie know I said hi. Thank you.
All right. Thursday preview tomorrow. Till then, heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.